Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 13, Text 93. Ashtaprahar Ram Nam Japena Ratridine Sarvatyaji Chalila Jagannatha Darshani. Ramdas had renounced everything and was going to see Lord Jagannath. While traveling, he chanted the holy name of Lord Ram 24 hours a day. Raghunatha Bhatter Shane Patete Milila Bhatter Jhali Mate Kori Vahiya Chalila. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayhyam Dathati Shupadantikam Bande hang Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Sabatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Deena Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Brindavaneshwari, Prashabh Hanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hori Priye, Vancha Kolpitarubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha, Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Raghunath Bhatt was the son of Tapan Mishra. And he left everything aside, all other duties, to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He must have been coming from Varanasi, it seems here, to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And along the way, he meets this Ramdas, Ramdas Vishvas, who accompanied him, and he's described here, he took Raghunath's baggage on his head and carried it. Nana Sheva Kori Kore Pada Sambahan Tate Raghunathir Hoy Sankuchita Mon. Ramdas served Raghunath Bhatt in various ways, even massaging his legs. Raghunath Bhatt felt some hesitation in accepting all this service. Tumi Bharaloka Pandit Mahabhagavate Shevana Kuriho Shuke Chol Mor Shate. You are a respectable gentleman, a learned scholar, and a great devotee. Please do not try to serve me. Just come with me in a happy mood. The Ramdas was the teacher of a famous book known as Kavya Prakash, so he was a great scholar, and Raghunath Bhatt was hesitating to accept service from him. Just come with me in a happy mood. Ramdas kohe, ami shudra adham, brahmanera sheva e mora nijadharma. Ramdas replied, I am a shudra. a fallen soul, to serve a brahmana is my duty and my religious principle. Shankocha na koratumi ami tomar dash, tomar seva korila hoy hridaye ullas. Therefore, please do not be hesitant. I am your servant, and when I serve you, my heart becomes jubilant. Eta boli jhali vahin, korein shetman shevane, Raghunather tarak mantra japen ratvidine. Thus, Ram Das carried the baggage of Raghunath Bhatta and served him sincerely. He constantly chanted the holy name of Lord Ramchandra day and night. E mate Raghunath aila nila chale, prabhur charane ya milila kutuhale. Traveling in this way, Raghunath Bhatt soon arrived at Jagannath Puri. There, with great delight, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell at his lotus feet. Danda padanam kori bhatta parila charane prabhu raghunatha jani koilo alingane. Raghunath Bhatta fell straight as a rod at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the Lord embraced him, knowing well who he was. I've skipped whichever it is here, which is okay. We've skipped it. Mishra ar Shekharir Dandavat Janaila Mahaprabhu Tatsavar Varta Puchila. Raghunath offered respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on behalf of Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, and the Lord also inquired about them. Bhalo haila aila deka kamala lochan aji amar eta koriba prasad bhojan. It's very good that you've come here, the Lord said. Now go see the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath. Today you will accept prasad here at my place. Govindere kohi eka vasha deoyaila swarupari bhaktagan shame milaila. The Lord asked Govinda to arrange for Raghunath Bhatta's accommodations and then introduced him to all the devotees, headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami. E mata prabhu shange rahila ashtamash dine dine prabhur kripai barai ullas. Thus, Raghunath Bhatta lived with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously for 8 months, and by the Lord's mercy he felt increased transcendental happiness every day. Madhye Madhye Mahaprabhur Korein Nirmantran Ghara Bhatta Korein Ar Vivita Vyanjan. He would periodically cook rice with various vegetables and invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. Raghunatha Bhatta Pake Ati Sunipun Je Randhe She Hoy Amritarasham. Raghunath Bhatt was an expert cook. Whatever he prepared tasted just like nectar. A devotee is expert, so Raghunath Bhatt was noted for this particular item of expertise, that he was a very good cook, and whatever he made was nectarian. Parama Santoshe Prabhu Korein Bhojan Prabhur Avashishta Patra Patir Bhaktashan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept with great satisfaction all the food he prepared. After the Lord was satisfied, Raghunath Bhatt would eat his remnants. Ramdash yadi pratam prabhure milila Mahaprabhu adhiktare kripa na kurila. When Ramdas Vishvas met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord did not show him any special mercy, although this was their first meeting. Antare mumukshuteho vidya gauravan sarva citta gyata prabhu sarva gya bhagavan. Within his heart, Ram Dass Vishwas was an impersonalist who desired to merge into the existence of the Lord, and he was very proud of his learning. Being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand the heart of everyone, and thus he knew all these things. So it's at first surprising. Ram Dass was chanting the holy name of the Lord 24 hours a day, and he was rendering such humble and menial service to a dear devotee of the Lord, Raghunath Bhatt, and expressing such nice devotional sentiments and rendering all sorts of services. And yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ignored him. He gave all sorts of attention to Raghunath Bhatta and totally ignored this Ram Dass who'd come with Raghunath Bhatta and served him all along the way. So here the explanation is given by Kaviraj Goswami that although externally Ram Dass was chanting the holy name and doing Vaishnav Seva, his purpose was to merge with the Supreme. This is a certain kind of devotional mentality that we devote ourselves to Krishna or Ram or Nrisimha or some form of the Lord with the ulterior motive of merging with the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mama Janmani Janmani Shure Bhavatad Bhaktoi Bhavatad Bhaktir Hoitaki Toi. I have no motive. I just want to serve you life after life. I just want to serve you eternally. But Ram Dass had a different motive. I just want to serve you until I can become one with you. I just want to engage in your devotional service so that I can become one by merging into your existence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this, and he knew also that this Ram Dass, although coming on, we would say, in a very humble way, was actually very proud of being a great scholar. Vidya Gauravan, he was proud of his education, proud of his learning. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't show him any special mercy, Sarvagya Bhagavan. As the Antaryami, the super soul in everyone's heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew it and just gave him no attention. Yayata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As we approach the Lord reciprocates. So the Lord knew the inner intention. Bhavagrahi Janardana, he knows. Bhavagrahi Janardana, he knows the feeling of the worshipper. And so he knew what kind of ideas this, what kind of feeling this Ram Dass had, and reciprocated accordingly. Didn't give him any attention. Ram Dass koila tabe nila chale vash patta nayak goshtike pardai kavya prakash. Ram Dass Vishwas then took up residence in Jagannath Puri and taught the Kavya Prakash to the Pattanayak family, the descendants of Bhavananda Roy. Ashtamash Rahi Prabhu Bhatte Vidai Dila Vivaha Na Koriha Bali Nishedha Korila. After 8 months, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Bhatta, the Lord flatly forbade him to marry. Do not marry, the Lord said, Vibhaha na kuriha, don't do it. Purport. Raghunath Pattacharya had become a greatly advanced devotee while still unmarried. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see this, and therefore he advised him not to begin the process of material sense gratification. Marriage is a concession for people who are unable to control their senses. Raghunath, however, being an advanced devotee of Krishna, naturally had no desire for sense gratification. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him not to enter the bondage of marriage. Generally, a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. He becomes attached to his family and is prone to sense gratification. Thus, his spiritual advancement is very slow or almost nil. Well, we have hardly a ringing endorsement for family life here. Sometimes historical revisionists give us the idea that unfavorable attitudes toward family life were introduced sometime in the late 1970s or else in the 1980s by fanatical extremist sannyasis and their brahmachari followers. But for the readers of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's clear that the bad reviews begin from Srila Prabhupada himself. We assume that Srila Prabhupada is following the purports given by the predecessor acharyas, like his own spiritual master. So this opinion has been coming down for quite some time, long before the 1970s. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Raghunath Pat was advanced in Krishna consciousness. So what was the need of family life? Avidya karma sangyamya tritiya shaktiri ishyate. Conditioned life means ignorance and hard work. And that hard work especially becomes necessary in the bondage of family life. In family life, so much time is spent in earning money. The whole world gets up in the morning and goes to work, and works till late in the day or night, or else starts work in the night. And sometime after working for 8 or 10 hours or more, they come home to their family. Or sometimes we find that people even go to some foreign country to work very hard. In the Persian Gulf is full of Indians and Bangladeshis who are working for small wages, very difficult conditions, living in labor camps, and building, doing construction work in a desert climate, to send money back to their families. So much hard work becomes one's lot on account of family life. One becomes very busy in working to maintain the family, and then when we get some money, then spending the money. The Shukadeva Goswami says, Nidraya, what is that? Vriyate naktam, vyavavayena chavabhayaha, divacharte haya rajan kutumba badanenava, depicting materialistic family life, he says that people waste their time at night sleeping or having sex. If there's no opportunity for sex, then sleep. Sleeping or sex, and during the day, where is money, where is money, where is money, where is money? Diva charte haya rajan. Kutumba baraneva, or spending money for family affairs. In this way, he says, the life is practically wasted. So, why is all of this necessary? Pumsastriya maitani bhavametam. Because the man is attracted to a woman is attracted to man. And it's not simply on intellectual considerations. The attraction is sex. So for sexual attraction, the man and woman get together. And Toyor Mito Hridya Grantamahu. When they unite, then there's a tight knot that forms in the heart. Ata griha kshetra sutta apta vittai. And then they need a home, an apartment, some place to be together. And they want some land, a field of activities. And children come on the scene. And relatives are part of the picture, they have to be satisfied. And for all of that, we need money, sufficient money for the house, for the land, to satisfy the relatives, to take care of the children. And one becomes so wrapped up in these things that janasya mohoya mahamaniti, by the influence of illusion, one thinks, I am this body. And this is my wife, these are my children, this is my car, this is my house, this is my bank balance, this is my this is my that. And forgets about spiritual advancement. Forgets about spiritual advancement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that here's this nice young man, Raghunath Bhatt, the son of sincere devotee, also Tapan Mishra. And Raghunath Bhatt was already advanced in Krishna consciousness. So when he was advanced in Krishna consciousness, what was the need to get involved in family affairs? There was no need. So he flatly instructed Raghunath Bhatt, don't marry. Not, well, if you like, or let's see, or we can think about it. Don't. Don't do it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some other plan for him and saw that for him to get involved in family life was simply unnecessary. Those who have no family obligations can spend their full time in spiritual service and spiritual cultivation. So what was the need for Raghunath Bhatt to get involved in the burdensome duties of householder life and the attachments, natural attachments of householder life? So he instructed him, don't marry. And Srila Prabhupada also instructed that marriage is a concession. Again, this is very much out of style these days. We're not supposed to say these things, especially sannyasis should be careful not to revert to the old image. But here Srila Prabhupada flat out says that it's a concession. Better to do without it, but because the man is attracted to a woman, woman is attracted to a man, so these things have to be regulated. Because it's our principle, no illicit sex. The sex life should be controlled. So the civilized arrangement for control in Vedic culture, or practically any human society, is married life. In married life, there's some scope for sex life, for the man to be attracted to his wife, for the wife to be attracted to the husband, to have children and so on. That's all legitimate. That's all accepted according to religious principles. Otherwise, the attraction, willy-nilly attraction of any man for any woman for any man, and then they're getting together in clubs and dormitories and what have you, is the animal, is just animal life. So the human being also has the animal propensities for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But those are to be regulated. As far as possible, all of these things should be minimized. Eating should be controlled, not lots and lots of eating and very opulent eating. Eating should be minimized, sleeping should be minimized, fighting should be minimized, and sex should be minimized. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that in the case of Raghunath Bhatta, minimized means minimized to nil. It could be completely dispensed with. There was no need. No need at all. Otherwise, within married life, sex is allowed. And apart from that, sex is just animal life or degradation. So a concession, Srila Prabhupada says, if we can't do without it, then we should accept it within regulations. But it should be recognized as burdensome. And even then, that acceptance of householder life is also limited. The first thing is that householder life is not an unlimited license for sense gratification or sex life. Just like we get a driver's license. So a driver's license means that you're allowed to drive a car, but it's not a license to do anything. To drive your car at any speed, on any road, on any side, it's not that now you have a license to kill. It's a limited license. The license is actually meant to restrict. Otherwise, you could just sell cars and people could drive them. What is the purpose of the license? It's to restrict. You have to now drive. You're allowed to drive, but you have to drive within the speed limit. You have to pay some money also for the license and taxes and so on. You have to demonstrate a certain level of capability. And if you abuse your license, we can take it away also. If you're found drunk or whatever, too many infractions, then we can take your license away. You lose your license. So the marriage license is also not a license for unrestricted sex. Dharmaha viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi paratarshapa. Krishna says that sex is a representation of him when accepted in a way that's not contrary to dharma, to religious principles. Religious principles means sex should be accepted for having good children. Otherwise, not. Otherwise, it's dharma virud. against principles of dharma. So within householder life also, the sex is to be controlled. And then finally, householder, the license is to be surrendered after 25 years. It's not to be renewed. Sometimes people, after 20 or so on years of marriage, they start again. That's not advisable. But the idea is that as a young man, one may accept married life as a provision for controlling these senses. And after 25 years of married life, one should give up sex life and accept the vanaprastha ashram for renewed detachment. By that detachment, one advances more in spiritual progress. Otherwise, remaining in family life, growing old, and remaining attached to the companionship of the opposite sex and to family, the family circle and homely attachments is described as hitvatma patam grihamandakupam. Atma patam means stopping spiritual progress, and grihamandakupam means the dark well of home life. Antakupa, dark well, means like a hidden well, a blind well. There's some well out in the fields, but it's been neglected or covered over with some grass, vegetation, and so no one knows it's there, and some unwary traveler falls in, and then how will he get out? No one is there. Help, help. There's no help to come. So that's called andhakupa, a blind well. So the householder life of unending attachment is compared to such a blind well. And Prahlad Maharaj advised Hiranyakashipu that hitvatma patam grihamandakupam vanam gato yad tarimashrayeta, that the best thing is to get out of that blind well of family attachment and go to the forest. Vanam gato and yad harimashrayeta, and take shelter of Krishna, the personality of Godhead. In previous ages, the vanaprasthas literally used to go to the forest. We read that Maharaj Prithu, along with his wife Archie, went to the forest and performed tapasya. And many other great souls followed that system. But in the present age, who is prepared to give up living in London and suddenly go to the forest? It's not a reasonable expectation. But there, Prabhupada said the best thing is the Vrindavan forest, Vrindavan. We have arrangements there where people can retire from family life. That was Prabhupada's particular idea about Vrindavan, was that people, respectable people who had finished with their householder life, could retire to Vrindavan and engage in the service of the deity and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and in this way cultivate Krishna consciousness as the most important duty in life. So from that point of view, the household life is a temporary concession. It's not meant to be permanent at all. In the mature stage, one should cultivate detachment from family life through the Vanaprastha ashram, and if possible, one should accept sannyas for traveling and preaching for the benefit of the world, as Srila Prabhupada did, as he showed by his own example. He said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas at a young age, and Prabhupada said he gave up the small world of wife and family for the larger world of Krishna and all humanity. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinks so. So that's the idea. This family life is a small world, and one becomes wrapped up in that world. The children and their education and their marriage and or their this and their that, so many things concerning in-laws and finances and home repair and taxes and jobs and recessions and so many things. And that appears to be, there are endless things to do there and there are endless engagements, but it's really a very small world. And one is advised to either just don't turn off the freeway and get off on that ramp that leads to that small world, or find the off-ramp at the appropriate time and go on from householder life, leave householder life behind, because we're going to have to leave it behind anyway. No one can remain eternally in family life. So one is advised voluntarily to cultivate detachment from family affairs and attachment to Krishna.